the DSR NHL Dynasty Podcast with your host and regular season champion, Christopher McDonald.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Christopher McDonald, your host and the commissioner of the Degenerate Stretch Run Dynasty League. You can find me on Twitter at CMACCanada, and this is episode 9 of the DSR NHL Dynasty podcast. Thanks for listening. You may have noticed a little difference in the intro over the music there, that I've added the regular season champion to the intro to today's show. The reason I did that is because I kind of forgot that we had a payout scheduled out for that. So what happened last week is we had four teams tied at 14 wins, and the team with the most points for in the regular season was awarded the championship, and that's me. So $60 to me, and now we have two matchups going on right now where essentially the winners will be guaranteeing themselves $210, which is our prize for the runner-up in the championship game, and $450 goes to the champion. So win this week and you guarantee yourself another $210. That'd be a total of $270 for me. But the champion gets $450, and of course, if the two teams that make the finals decide they want to chop the pot, that's absolutely okay as well. Let's wait and see what happens here, and don't want to be just satisfied with getting my entry fee back, which is the $60, but nice little something I never thought would be possible with Mr. Last Place and Vernon Zink doing so well throughout the regular season and having a crazy last couple of weeks there ends up getting me, a few bucks, and let's go ahead and win a championship now. And with that wonderful news, let's get into this week's news and notes. Well, unfortunately, the biggest news from the NHL is still kind of what we talked about last week with the Vancouver Canucks. They still haven't played and, in fact, were scheduled to come back and play this week until JT Miller showed a lot of leadership and stood up in the media and basically said the team's not ready after having all that time off, having one practice and a pregame skate before having to take on teams like Toronto that want to, I think it was Toronto and Edmonton, two teams that really want to make sure they win, so they're not going to be able to take it easy on a team like Vancouver who hasn't even practiced in weeks. So JT Miller comes out and says they don't feel ready. So pretty good leadership by him. He's a player who, you know, I think a lot of us probably thought Vancouver overpaid for sending a first-round pick to the Rangers for JT Miller, but now that looks like a really nice move for Vancouver, and soon enough they should get it turned around, and he's probably going to be a big part of their leadership group. You can tell already he's got the respect and probably had the okay from management to go out and say that too, so pretty good stuff there from JT Miller. The Canucks games for this week have been canceled. Doesn't look like anybody in our league risked putting any Canucks in. And but some people did have some Maple Leafs in. Mr. Last Place really ended up being in a tough spot with having minimal people to start. Well, actually, he more had a problem with Steven Stamkos and Blake Wheeler both getting injured. So needed some help with a starting spot, and then had recently realized that waivers closed going into the playoffs. Something that I felt I had made pretty clear to everybody that waivers was going to be closed, and it seemed when he asked for the assistance that he was quickly made aware by the rest of the league that that was something that was not available and that waivers were closed. But I gotta say, I was fine with that until it kind of burned me. But what burned me was actually the fact that not just ads were not allowed to happen anymore, but also drops. So what happened to me was I had my roster full. I had all my available spots full, including all three of my taxi and all four of my IR spots. And once Tuukka Rask became healthy, I was seriously considering starting him over Sergei Bobrovsky, who had three games this week. The one game against an easier team, he was not going to start. It had already been announced that Chris Drieger was going to start that game. The other two games Bobrovsky had was against Tampa Bay. So I wanted to get Tuukka Rask in, even though he wasn't 100% healthy at the time. Their team had four games, and it looked like he was going to be back. But I couldn't cut anybody. I couldn't cut David Krejci was what I was going to do, and bring Rask in for Bobrovsky. So the only way after the playoffs start for me to move a guy, if I didn't leave an empty roster spot, was either hope somebody gets hurt. That may be something we look at next year. Definitely a rule change that I'll be proposing in the offseason. And after we get through our Game of the Week reviews, I'm going to just give a quick reminder about some important dates, including when we can start proposing rules, and that'll be after the Game of the Week review. But definitely a rule I'm going to be proposing, since we can't choose just drops to be available, is I'll be suggesting that we move the free agent ad drop date after the playoffs, so that or maybe right before the championship game, so that if something happens, people can make moves and set their lineups, and then after the championship game, the rosters will freeze and there'll be no ad drops throughout the season until we have our free agency draft. That way it adds some of those top players that maybe changed destinations in the offseason, had a hot start for the first half of the NHL season, because we don't pick up until midway through the year. So it should add some intriguing options to our draft, since the incoming rookies usually don't have a major impact. So having teased that and mentioned the game of the week, why don't we go ahead and jump right in? Our game of the week this week wasn't announced last week, but that's because when we're in the playoffs, all the games are the game of the week. So we've got two games to talk about. Let's get into it. So the first game we're going to talk about is the Better Koivu versus Mr. Last Place. And this game ended up 47 for the Better Koivu and 70 points for Mr. Last Place. He gets the win and he's going to move into the semifinals. Major stars in this game, you'd have to say Connor Hellebuck is the number one star, absolutely. 14 points for the goaltender position for Mr. Last Place. He also had a huge performance from Chris Letang, 7.85 points. Great points coming from your defensive slot. And also a bit of a surprise, Jared McCann in a center position for Mr. Last Place ends up with 7.55 points. Really nice performance from him in getting a win and getting that team up to 70 points, which is typically that mark that you need to get a win. We talked about this in the group chat, but Leon Draisaitl with 11.38 points in a losing cause for the Better Koivu. Pretty good, solid effort and a great season from Draisaitl for sure. Busts, just like we had the stars all from Mr. Last Place. Certainly when you lose 47 to 70, you're going to be all over the busts category. But to be honest, it was a little unfair for the Better Koivu, but of course, life in sports isn't fair. And we had Taylor Hall with 0 points, not because he was injured at all, but because the Sabres were resting him to trade him. He ultimately did get traded to the Boston Bruins. So hopefully he can shine in the playoffs and get to another team and hopefully have a better season. Only had 2 goals for the Better Koivu this year, and I'm sure he was hoping for more with a dynasty asset that's 2 years removed from an MVP season. The other busts, number two, Jonathan Huberdeau had minus points, minus 0.1 points. And Eli Tovanen, 0.3 points. Now, normally I won't put people that are injured in the busts category, but this is the playoffs and these guys were started. So a total of 0.2 points from Hall, Huberdeau, and Tovanen. That's a quick way to lose a playoff game. However, to be fair, Mr. Last Place did also have an injury. Blake Wheeler was out. However, he did score 1.2 points before going out. So he, quintupled the points from those three stars from the better Koivu. So that's really, really tough to get back and deal with. Missed starts. Mr. Last Place actually did have Yanni Gourde, 8.69 points on the bench. He would have been his best flex player or centerman, scoring better than Connor McDavid that week. So Yanni Gourde was one he could have got in. And the guy who I kind of trashed on this show last week, Gostis Bear, comes up with 7.95 points. So I don't think anybody would have started him, but had Mr. Last Place turned around and gave him a chance after his own team, the Philadelphia Flyers, had put him on waivers, I guess that really sparked his game, and he comes up with 7.95 points. Linus Ullmark also had a great game on the bench, 8.86 points, but it's not really a missed start. You could have put him in over Semyon Varlamov, 7.64 points, but he didn't really need the additional 1.2 points, so not really a missed start, but more so just wanted to highlight Ullmark's great week. The better Koivu couldn't have really done anything. There wasn't anybody with the 25 extra points that would have helped him get the win. Alex Nedeljkovic would have been a better goaltending start, because I didn't mention that Carey Price also left injured. So Nedeljkovic ended up with 6.46 points. And Jeff Skinner, he could have got in there for any one of those injured players. Skinner had 5.54 points and certainly would have been better than those guys that didn't play. But tough to predict injury, and of course in Taylor Hall's case, that the team was just going to hold him out. The other game last week to review is Leafs the Rest Behind versus Clan MacKinnon. This one was a much closer game, ending up 74 points for Leafs the Rest Behind, 76 points for Clan MacKinnon. Clan MacKinnon going on to the semifinals, having a hot end to the year, riding a 7-game winning streak now. Had a huge, huge week here in a tight matchup where both teams getting over that 70-point mark. Stars for this week. In a losing effort, Patrice Bergeron got 17.01 points for Leafs the Rest Behind. I'm sure there was other weeks, probably when Edmonton was playing against Ottawa, where players had huge point totals like that, but I can't remember seeing 17 points in a single week from a player, and getting that from Bergeron in the playoffs had to make Leafs the Rest Behind happy, and he was right there with a chance to win. So he's the number one star in a losing effort, but then you've got Ryan O'Reilly with 12.37 points for Clan MacKinnon, and of course, the namesake of the team, Nathan MacKinnon, 11.83 points, those two combining for 24 points, and that was a huge reason that Clan MacKinnon gets the victory. Nods to goaltenders on both sides. Jack Campbell, 11.4 points for Clan MacKinnon, and Andrei Vasilevsky with 11.56. So a couple of good goaltending starts there, but it was really the forwards that were making the difference. Super close matchup. I think we're going to see here in the busts what really happened to end up deciding this one. Keith Yandle is the number one bust I've got here. He comes up with 0.3 points. You're expecting Keith Yandle to play and get you some points, and 0.3 points isn't nearly enough, of course. And I've got the number two bust is Erik Gustafsson. He had 0 points. He wasn't even started by his team. He was a healthy scratch, and that really hurt the chances for Leafs the Rest Behind, as they have another week where they get a zero from one of their defensemen, defensive slots, I should say, as last week they didn't have a defenseman in. And finally, on the winning side, Clan MacKinnon had Nick Leddy in there, ended up with 0.5 points. Had he gotten a couple, that would have made it a little bit easier to breathe with this matchup going all the way to Sunday. Also on the busts, a shout-out, let's call it, to Morgan Riley. 1.4 points for Morgan Riley in the playoffs. That almost cost Clan MacKinnon. And Mark Stone, 2.95 points. You're expecting a lot more from Mark Stone, especially when you lose by, and it would ended up being 1.6 points. Gosh, you're really hoping Stone could have gotten you some more points for sure. Missed starts. Now, this one's kind of interesting. You've got Clan MacKinnon with Justin Schultz. Could have made himself a little breathe a little bit easier. Certainly, Justin Schultz had 6.1 points, and Lankinen had 8.08 points from the goaltending position, and he could have benched Ilya Shesterkin for him at 5.78 points, but probably more likely if he was going to get Lankinen in, he might have put him in for Jack Campbell or something. So unlikely that was going to happen, but Lankinen would have bettered Ilya Shesterkin, but would have been hard to bench Shesterkin, and we're going to talk about Shesterkin later in the show, so I'll just save that one. The most interesting of the season so far in missed starts comes with Leafs the Rest Behind, where they had Jamie Benn, 6.32 points, who they traded for going into the playoffs at our trade deadline. Had he started Jamie Benn over any of his flex players, he would have won, moved on to the semifinals with the 6.32. But he also could have started Michael Backlund, who had 7.9 points, and absolutely would have ran away with this game had he started Rupe Hintz. 12.19 points, would have been certainly a star of the week and sitting on Leafs the Rest Behind's bench. Now Leafs the Rest Behind, fantasy manager Mark Denemy can think about that for 7 months of thinking about what could have been and what different choices he could have made. I really wonder who he was considering, and if he really did consider putting in Hintz, probably would have made it a much easier week to enjoy than what ended up happening with that tight matchup, and it was tight the whole way through. Great job by both teams, and great job by the better Koivu, and now we've got our semifinals set. You've got Sidorkiewicz against Clan MacKinnon, and Mr. Last Place versus Burnin Zink. And why don't we do a little semifinal sneak peek? So our first matchup is Mr. Last Place versus Burnin Zink. That's the 3-seed Mr. Last Place versus the 2-seed Burnin Zink. Right now, Mr. Last Place has only been able to score 25 points, whereas Burnin Zink is at 49, starting to run away with it here on a Friday. Big problems for Mr. Last Place as Connor McDavid hasn't gotten to many points yet, sitting at a 0. And also he's got Donskoy in the lineup, who's now gone out hurt, as well as when starting his lineup, he didn't have access to Steven Stamkos and Blake Wheeler. He's got Marchessault in the lineup right now. He's only got 0.3 points. And Jared McCann, who we highlighted as a star from last week, he's sitting at negative 0.07 points. Dylan Strome as well, having a disappointing week so far at 0.87 points. Hopefully a couple of those guys that are still going, they can have a big weekend and maybe make it a little bit closer going into Sunday, but not looking good for Mr. Last Place and his championship hopes. The big successes for Burnin Zink so far have been Mikko Rantanen already at 8.41 points, Pacioretty at 6.75, Roman Josi's already got 4.6 as a defenseman. Always nice to get those defensive points. Alex Tuch at 5.5, and even at the goaltending position, Markstrom's got 7.9. So he's getting his points from his Vegas players. And obviously Marchessault hasn't had a big week for Vegas. Must be all coming from Pacioretty and Tuch. And Burnin Zink is reaping the rewards, hoping to get a chance at the finals. The other game we've got, my team, Sidorkiewicz versus Clan MacKinnon. This one has been very close. I am currently in the lead with 37 points. Clan MacKinnon has 36 points. So we're within a couple of points, and it is very, very close. I had a situation after the first game of the week. Philip Grubauer ended up getting a win, 4.2 points. But after that game was diagnosed with COVID-19 and is now out for 2 weeks. Definitely jinxed myself last week. My best player, my MVP, now can't even be in the locker room to get the guys going. And now, thankfully, he got those 4.2 points, but now he won't be able to help me the rest of this week in this matchup and won't be available next week. So, as I said, when I needed someone to get hurt so I could bring Tuukka Rask in, at least I've got that person now, I suppose. If I can move on, get an opportunity to get Rask in for Grubauer next week. I've also had Elias Lindholm, 5.64 points, Brad Marchand's at 4.49, and Joe Pavelski at 5.78 points. For Clan MacKinnon, it's the namesake again, Nathan MacKinnon, 5.25 points. You've got Pionk from that defensive position. When you're getting defensive points, that really helps you get up there in points. Pionk's got 4.75 already. But the one that is absolutely crushing me, who I spoke of before, Ilya Shesterkin has two shutouts this week, and the week's not even over. He's at 12.72 points, and it's driving me bonkers because, goodness gracious, if the Rangers can find a way to lose those games, I'm having a really good week and feeling good about my chances. But right now, it's so tight. It's so close. Really, really great matchup. And we're going to see who can make it to the finals. You know, if Mr. Last Place can make a run at it, probably running at a racetrack, unfortunately. So Bern and Zink's feeling pretty good about their finals chances right now. Whereas fantasy manager Sean and myself, we're going to be keeping an eye on the scoreboard pretty tightly for the next few days for sure. And just before I let this one go and go into next week, I just wanted to remind everybody of that trade that Clan MacKinnon and I made, where I sent him Ryan Strome and he sent me Anthony Mantha. We talked about that one on the show. Anthony Mantha was traded during the trade deadline in a huge deal. Much of Twitter and most hockey fans are saying that Washington vastly overpaid to get Mantha, but it's working out right now. He's played two games with Washington, and he's got 5.33 points. Unfortunately, I didn't start him. Wasn't really ready to bank on that yet, but really nice to see one of my young players, after moving locations, getting to a place where he obviously feels like he's wanted a little bit more, maybe a little less pressure. Early returns are really good for Washington. However, he's not in my lineup. And for Clan MacKinnon, he's got a player out of that deal that he's starting in the playoffs. Strome's a little bit quiet so far this week at 2.63 points, but the week isn't over. So a pretty good deal. I think even Sean said it in the interview that I was getting sort of a young sniper, so I was probably waiting a little bit more, whereas he is getting the guy right now who can help him and is obviously starting for him in the second round of the playoffs. So good even trade there, and hopefully I get the better of it as soon as next year. But we'll see if Strome can be a part of beating me out this week. Doesn't matter what happens in the future. It's all about winning a championship. So next week's game of the week, obviously, we'll review these semifinal games, but the game of the week we'll be looking at is the championship game. That'll probably be the last show of the year. I'm going to wait and see what the hosting abilities are like, if the episodes can stay up and available, and if I can just jump in and record a show here and there. But next week's show could be the last one. Maybe one more championship review, as well as the draft lottery episode. So we'll see how that goes. But episode 10 next week should be a good one. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Still got to finish episode 9 here. I've got a couple of things I just wanted to talk about. Section 9 in the bylaws is rule changes. And I just want to read that out for you guys so you guys know what's happening coming the end of the year. It says, rule changes may be proposed and discussed via the league's chat hosted by WhatsApp at the end of the postseason. The commissioner, me, will create polls for the proposed rule changes at the end of the season on the league's homepage. I can't do that on Flea Flicker, but we'll get some polls created and get everybody an opportunity to vote. Owners are required to vote on every rule change poll. There will be a no vote option in the poll if an owner feels indifferent about the rule change. Rule changes should be actively voted on versus passively approved. Therefore, rule change proposal, each rule change proposal needs 8 out of 12 votes to pass. If all 12 owners do not vote, The commissioner will make the final decision and will act in the best interest of the league for its long-term outlook. So just make sure when we get those polls up, and I'll make sure everybody knows that you're all getting a chance to vote. And it's really important so we can decide when we're going to put these into place. Most rule changes, if they're dramatic, won't go into play for the 2021 season. We'll get that into the 2022 season. So please be active when we get those rule changes, and please let me know about the rule changes you want to propose, and we'll get them in so we can get some votes on them. Other important dates that we talked about, it hasn't been since episode 3 since I talked about the important dates. The NHL regular season is scheduled to end on May 10th. DSR NHL Dynasty Draft Lottery is going to be held one day before the NHL Draft Lottery, which is typically sometime in the second round of the NHL playoffs. July 1st, our free agent acquisition budget is reset to $500. But again, since we can't trade Fab and can't add players in the offseason, it's not really all that important that we get it on July 1st. At this time, the 2021-22 NHL regular season is set to be a full season beginning in October. That's for the NHL. The DSR NHL Dynasty League rookie draft is tentatively set for Saturday, December 4th. Week 1 of the 2021 season is set to start on December 27th, as that is the week that includes January 1st, even though January 1st is the Saturday. So December 27th next year, and with the NFL going to an extra game, that could put things a little bit close if you make the finals for your NFL dynasty and fantasy pools. But for the most part, I think we'll all be ready to get back into fantasy hockey for sure after a huge draft at the start of December, and likely a lot of trades throughout the season as players get better and some of our guys fall off and moving draft picks. Should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to the off season, but still got some work to do here the rest of this week and hopefully next week. Good luck to everybody who's still in it. Thanks for listening to the show. I appreciate you all.